Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
I feel like I have a word for us this morning. I've been carrying the message about possess the land as long as I felt like I could possibly physically carry that message. And so I was telling Scott, I go, how long do I preach it? Do I preach it until we possess the land? Because what if I'm preaching it the rest of my life? You know? And I just, whatever the Lord wants us to do, that's what I want. Is that what you want?
Yes.
So just a quick recap. You know, we've been talking about since the beginning of the year, and we're in the summer. We're past the halfway mark in the year. And the four P's of how to live the Christian life. For God speaking a word to us, what do you want us to look at this year, God? What do you want us to do with our Christian lives and our Christian selves? He wants us to become disciples that follow him, that listen to him, that are in tune with what he's trying to say, who live lives according to the word of God, not according to the flesh. I'll say it, not according to the flesh. What is that? That's where you live your life however you want to. And then you go back and repent to Jesus, and then you think everything's good, and it's clean and good, and then me and Jesus, we're tight. He's my friend. I'm a friend of God. When God is calling us to a way different place than that, he's calling us to this. Come all the way in, or get all the way out. That's it. Come all the way in, and experience my love, and my goodness, and my glory, and my power. Or scooch over here. Because there's a lot of stuff going on. These are not my words. We talk about casting a net, how the Lord has called us to cast a net. And we're not in charge of what fish come into that net. We don't know who's good and bad. He knows that. Our job is to look at people with compassion and love and kindness and draw all men to the Lord that we serve, that we love, right? We cast our net. We are not responsible for what is in there. Jesus is in charge of the haul. And he will do the sorting. His words. I'm paraphrasing, but it's there. You go read it for yourself. So there's three conversions that every Christian should experience. The conversion, you know what that means? I used to be that, and then I gave myself to something else, and I became this. So I used to be, in a normal sense, something that makes an easy transition. I used to be, you know, an alcoholic. But I came and I turned a different way and I started, you know, AA, and I got some help. And I looked to God to be my ultimate source of deliverance, and I didn't drink. After that, I became clean, right? I used to be fat and sloppy. But then I listened to the Lord and my husband, and I started looking toward healthy food and right choices for my body, and I started to lift some weight, and I became this. I was that, but I became this. Those are conversions, just simple forms that we might understand. I used to be lost, but then I gave my heart to Jesus, and I repented. Repentance isn't saying sorry. Repentance is, I used to live over here and do all of this, but then I turned this way and I repented. That's the act of repentance. And then I started living this way in forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And I became a Christian. I let the Lord come and live on the inside. Conversion number one. Why are you saying this every week, Lisa? Till I look at your eyes and they blink with understanding. Until I look at the heart and perceive that this is living in you. Because what is my job? To prepare the saints for the work of ministry, Ephesians 4. And what is your job? Reconciliation of man to God, starting with yourself. The second conversion is from a self-centered life, a me life, which is the culture in which we live in this United States of America. God bless it. The conversion is from living a me-centered life to living a church life. A kingdom life. Oh, there's a church and I should go to it? Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Don't forsake assembling together. And as often as you meet, do this stuff. You know, have dinner together. Break bread together. Talk about me. Pour over the work of the Bible until I come. That's communion. The third conversion is to the mission of God, where we're not just sitting in church every week and hearing a great message. And I mean, the messages here are great. It's about taking that message and letting it become part of who you are. And where I was just sitting in church, and then I got some marching orders from the Lord, and then I stepped out into the mission of God. Tracking? Okay, that's the recap. Go back and listen to the last two if you need full, you know, full disclosure. Today, you know, and even last week, we talked about how in the book of Joshua, after Moses passes away, God always has entity upon entity. He has generation after generation, and he set apart for himself those who will follow him and will do according to his will, that his kingdom might come, that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. He has people chosen to do it. He picked me. Of all the people he could have picked, he picks you. Picks you. All the whole world he could pick, and he picks you to do his bidding, that some might come to know him. It is God's will that all would come to repentance, not broken, saying they're sorry, living a different life than they lived before they knew him. So the Lord gave us a word. It was, be strong and be courageous, for the Lord your God is with you. The same way that God is with me, he's going to be with the next generation coming up after me. The same way that God was with my mom, he's with me. And even a double portion, because I asked him for it. You know, any gift that your family members don't possess and walk in for the kingdom's sake, why don't you just claim it for yourself? If you see something on some of your family members' lives, but they're not following God, or they're not in the mission, they haven't gone through the three, you know, conversions yet, why don't you just ask God to pour that on you? You know, my father never really followed the Lord, my biological father. But he was a very charismatic person. He had a lot of friends. You know, big guy, big presence in the room. And I remember asking the Lord one day, because he's not a good dad, and he's in bad health right now. And it's super sad. There's no mending, there's nothing to do, and I don't even have feelings. But what I have is an ask to the Lord. Anything he could have carried out with all that charisma and magnitude, can you put it on me? I'll take it. If that's my family's place and that's what we're supposed to do, can I have, I'll carry it. Give me a greater measure, Lord. Trust me. Let's go. That was for free. That was extra. Be strong. Be brave. Be courageous, for the Lord is with you. And to somebody this morning, I just want to say, start doing stuff afraid. Get over yourself. It's not time to keep rehearsing what was. It's time to look at what is. You know, this week, we have a pool in our backyard, and it's awesome. It's not like, you know, it's a little paradise for us. You know, it's a little sanctuary for us. Well, this year we did repairs on it. So when I look out at it, it's still in a concrete mode. And I was starting to get depressed because summer's halfway through, you know, and I'm going to compare this to things that we want to see and things that we long for. And I was just standing there looking out there, and it was raining again. And I'm looking at, the guys aren't there when it's raining, and I'm looking at the pool. And they've already done so much work. When they first pulled the liner off and the concrete wasn't even and stuff, I looked out there and I just thought, this looks like Breaking Bad. It looks like a skateboard park for Breaking Bad, if you've ever seen that show. I'm not saying you should, I'm just saying it looked like that. And so I was like, Lord, what are we gonna do? You know, how's this gonna come together? This is the place where we all meet in the summer. It's so depressing. And day after day, and every day that it isn't fixed, it makes me sad. You know, and every day that it's still in disarray and it's still under construction makes me sad. And I'm a firm believer, if I pull up to your house and I look at your house, that your house speaks to me the content of what goes on in your house. Because what I see is a representation of what it is. It's not exactly what it is, but it's a representation. Okay. And so when you pull up to my house and it's under construction, well, I'm not a rocket scientist or anything, but I'll go to the Lord and I'll be like, what are you moving around? What are you working on? What are you building in me that I need for the next phase of my life? And what are you doing in my family? And what is the work? And I'm ready. So I was standing there and it's raining again. Now they have done some progress. They've poured a whole new concrete now. They've put resin in there. They've caused those concrete things to shift and to be good. We got the whole side of the wall mud jacked. How are you paying for all that, Pastor? I don't know. God knows. God will do it. He always does. Oh, and not one time have I seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. And I won't this time either. And so here's the point. I'm standing at the window and it's raining again. Raining on the pool. But now, you know, the pool doesn't have mold and horrible cracks. It's repaired, mostly. But it's raining still. And then I looked at my deck, which still had a rug on it from January when a glass broke and got shattered around it. And I just rolled it up and threw it on the deck because that's what I do. And it was July. And so I looked out there and I was like, huh. And it happened. This is what I want to happen to us. What can I do? Yeah. Well, I can throw that in the trash. And those plants that are sitting there in pots, nobody touched since last year. And I was like, I can do that. I could sweep this. I could roll out the rugs. I could put the furniture out here. And I started getting it ready. And you know what happened? Hope came. Hope came for what is going to happen in that pool. And also, if we don't ever change our internal voice like that, and we whatever you repeat over and over, that's what you're going to live in. So for repeating, I'll be like, wait for me. And I'll say something like, wait, Jessie, I'm old, because she's fast. I'll be like, wait for me, I'm old. And I'll be like, I'm not old, I'm young. I'm young, but wait for me anyway. And I just try to correct my verbiage, because you're going to live in what you're making a declaration of. Constantly start doing something afraid. Start doing something. The pool will open. We'll be there, and we'll laugh, and it'll be great. And you know what? My deck looks fabulous. It's ready. We did a little work. All of that just to say, there's land that you own already. And God has carved it out for you. There's mission work that you have to do. You mean go overseas? No. I mean, there's a mission right in front of you, in front of your face, in your life every day that is yours. And God has carved it out, and he's given you permission to take it. He's actually given you instruction to take it. So you got to pursue him, and you got to pray. You got to become a people of presence in order to possess the land. So we've been working on pursuit. What do you think we're doing in worship up here? We're trying to grab a hold of the hem of the garment, wrap it around ourselves. Pursuing God, praying to God, counting on God to be there at every step of the way. And then we step out in strength and courage, believing that he's with us, and we possess the land. The land is already yours. Now, here's the trick. Sometimes, have you ever heard of squatters? Have you ever heard of squatters before? You know what they are? Well, if you've ever owned any kind of real estate or rental property, and people get to a point where they don't have any money to pay you rent, but they also don't move out. Squatters. They're just in there living off of your life, your money, your property, and it's your property. And they're hanging out there, okay? In California, they've passed a law, it's called squatters' rights. And so you can live there for, I don't even know how long it is. You can't kick anybody out. You can't kick them out. I'm like, huh, that's probably not going to work well for the landowner if you can't kick the squatters out and they get squatters' rights to stay there. So some little geniuses came up with a new career opportunity. If you're looking for a new career opportunity, let me present you with one. So these people have taken it upon themselves to come up with an idea of how to get the squatters out. This is real. You can Google this stuff. And it has a rabbit hole too, so, but anyway. So the people that are gonna get the squatters out, no more squatters, you know, whatever they call themselves. There's a lot of them now and it's growing. And so what they do is they get the landlord to also write them a lease for 6 weeks. And they're gonna go in there too, and now they can live there too. And so they do, they move right in. They come right in, they got keys. And they move right in the middle of where the squatters are. They play music, they got a system. They'll play music all day long, real loud, real annoying. They cook food that is smelly, horrible, all the time. They make a mess. They make you uncomfortable. There's a new guy now they call him the sword guy. You gotta see him. He's like, he shows up like a ninja, moves into your house and he's wielding his sword all day. And he has friends and they come and do it too. In your house where you're squatting, and you know what happens? It's an ironic thing. The squatters leave. They leave. It's putting pressure in the right places. What a brilliant idea. I mean, if you like vigilante justice at all, you like this. It's like, and it's legal. It's all legal. And what I want to propose to us, as I before I start reading Joshua to us, I might just summarize it, is that you have squatters in your land, but they don't have any rights. And we're not going to wait around and explain and give notice over and over again and be patient and wait for them. Oh, who are they and what are their names? Fear, pride, jealousy, poverty, anger, abuse, neglect, torment, defilement, sin, shame. You tell me who they are. You're the one who lives with them. And so what happens is you got to get yourself to a place where you understand that the authority of the kingdom is on you. And you're going to be afraid because deliverance costs something. It's painful to go through deliverance. Here's my offering. I know it's costly, but I'm going to pour it all out anyway, God, because I'm not going to live with shame one more day. I'm not going to live with fear one more day of my life. And here's a notice, shame. Get out. By the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, by the word of the Lord, I'm sanctifying what is mine, what God has given me. You got to start on yourself and at home, for real. It feels big and bold in here, but once you get over to your own house behind your own door, then you got to make this stuff work. Then the enemy might provoke you. He might challenge you. He might cause you to doubt. Doubt is another squatter. Get out. Start wielding the sword like the ninja guy. No weapon formed against me may prosper. I'm bought by the blood of the Lamb. There's a blood covering over this home. No, we're not going to have any distraction or disease in the name of Jesus. No sickness can come near my dwelling because I live up here, not down here. Remember the blessing from a couple weeks ago? There's a blessing on your life. It belongs to you. It's read. Your name is written in the will of God. The blessings are yours to overtake you, but you don't know that your name's in the will. I'm telling you, your name is in the will. These things belong to you. There's a confidence that belongs to us. Be strong, be courageous, possess the land, kick the squatters out. Take what God gave you. Joshua 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them. The children of Israel. Write this one down, people, and take it for yourself. Every place that the sole of your foot touches shall belong to you. You, everywhere that you go. You know, when my kids were little, I couldn't be with them all the time. And I would have anxiety when I couldn't see where they were, or just from some of the things that I endured as a kid and in my own background, my traumatic childhood. So I couldn't see my kids, and I would have that anxiety. And I would start to say, wherever their feet go, Lord, it belongs to them. No harm shall come to them. Psalm 91, you'll hide them away in the shelter of your wing. You start speaking the word over the things that matter to you. The word is powerful. Every place the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. And he tells them the boundaries by which that are all theirs. And you remember we talked last week, reading through some of this, whenever spies went out in the land, we said, don't count out our old folks. Named Mary by name. You know, God will give her dreams right while she's sitting there right now. Speak to her, Lord. Don't count her out. Don't count out the elderly. They have a lot of experience and wisdom. Don't count out the youth. They have vibrance, and they're dreaming new dreams and a new way to have it. Don't be so dogmatic if you're older that it has to be this way. God does a new thing all the time. And we're raising up the next generation of people in this room. It takes both. Remember that part of the story? Today I wanted us to look at the part of the story where right here in 1, 2, 3, 4 of Joshua, it goes all the way through 6 probably to get the whole story. But what happens is Joshua sends out these spies. One's Ephraim. I can't remember the other one's name. But he sends these two guys out, and they're going to spy the land of Jericho. And in case you didn't know this part, you remember when God opened the Red Sea and Moses and all the Israelites went through it? Did you know he did it again? He did it again right here. Opens the Jordan at flood stage. It says the Jordan was flooded, and God parted that so that the Israelite army could come across. And they're getting ready to take Jericho. And so, you know, the Jericho is a fortified city. The wall that came tumbling down, I mean, it's houses. This would be part of the wall. And then another little entity and home next to that, and another home next to that, and the whole wall. And there are certain little places where you can come through, little passageways. It's a fortified wall. So if you picture in your mind the felt board of the 1970s, you know, teachings where, you know, Joshua and they're running around with a little trumpet and a little guitar and all those walls fall down and it's a miracle. This is going to be a magnitude of an earthquake that would be huge. And it isn't going to come down with a tambourine. It comes down by the power of God who's with us, just like he was with Moses. Okay, so they get across, the spies go out, and they're going to check it out and see what's going on. They go into the wall, and they meet a prostitute. The prostitutes have the wall so they can sit there and be pretty and lure you in to sleep with you and take your money. And Rahab is in this such a place. She's in the wall. Her house is there. And she brings the two Israeli spies in. And there's so much depth to this story, but, you know, just for sake of time, I'll just tell you. So Rahab brings them in because she has heard of this God of Israel. And she knows the reputation of God. And she also knows that everybody inside here is trembling. She said, our hearts have melted with fear because of you guys. Now the king has asked me to bring you to him, but I'm not going to do that because I know who you're serving is Jehovah, it's God. All the men in here are scared to death. I know you're going to take over. I know you're going to have this city. And when you do, would you save my family and me? I'm going to save you now. And she makes a deal. She's a prostitute. She knows how to make a deal. And they believed her because they also knew the God that they served. And they hide under these flax, you know, these little, you know, like sheaves. Like the best thing you can think of is a big, huge stalk of like corn or wheat. And she put them underneath and hid them and told the king they went a different way. She did that. She could have died for that. And so as the story goes, they, you know, the two spies escape. They go back. They tell Joshua and they say this. Here's the report. They're scared of us. They're terrified of us. Their hearts have melted in fear because of the Lord. They weren't cocky in the way that they did it. They knew with the confidence that they were moving in something that God was doing. And they were just part of what God was doing. There's nobody that's going to come to salvation ever just because you went and talked to them. But I'll tell you what, there's a better chance they would if you do. Everything that happens, everything that moves is because God is orchestrating it and God is building it. So number one, from Joshua, be strong and courageous. Start doing stuff afraid. Number two, accept help and hear the word of the Lord. This prostitute is prophesying to these guys who they are. You're called here by the Lord God, and everybody knows it. And everyone is afraid. Do you hear that, saints? Do you have a fear of God? You know, I heard John Bevere talking earlier this week. And my whole motivation in even telling this story, how can we stir a spiritual hunger? I can't do that. Only the Holy Spirit can do that in you. I can only say the things I feel like he's wanting to say. And then it's up to you to drink. It's up to you to come to the table and dine. Fresh bread from heaven, wine. He sets it for you every day. And so there has to be a spiritual hunger because I can feel it, though. I can feel it starting to be like, oh, interest is piqued in what we could possibly become in the kingdom if we adhere to these things we're talking about right now. If we get hungry for the things of God, for his presence, it doesn't matter about failure. There is no failure that is bigger than the blood of Jesus to cover it. There is nothing that goes on that can outshine the love of God. He makes a declaration and it happens. He speaks to the earth. Let there be light, and light forms in the atmosphere, and it still continues to this day. He's holy, and he's good, and he's bigger than us. And we are bought with a price, and we belong to him, and we follow. So we hear the word of the Lord. Let the Lord speak to you who you are. So I was listening to John Bevere, and he was telling a story. I can't remember who it was, if it was his dad or somebody close to him, had an affair, was broken, you know, and just had embezzled some money from their church and you know, was let go. And it was a big scandal. There's scandals all the time. Things that we would never believe that go on, you know. And he asked this person, he goes, when did you stop loving God? When did you fall out of love with God? And he goes, I still love God. I've never fallen out of love with God. I've always loved God. God loves me. Well, then how could you live like, how could you do that? You know, how could you follow those ways and break off from what God was calling you to? And he was like, I lost the fear of God. I didn't respect God anymore. I love God. I think God's awesome. I just, you know, got self-centered again, and self-motivated and distracted by what was going on in the world. And I lost my respect for God. And I think that's a defilement. And I think it's on us. And I think it comes by distraction. And it comes by different wound and hurt. And God wants to wash past all of that and speak to us again. I'm still here. I'm still in charge. I'm a covering for you, a grace covering for your very life. Do things afraid. I'm with you. I'm longing to show you. I'm going to meet you on the other side. You feel me? Be strong and courageous. Hear the word of the Lord defining who you are. Receive the blessing. Receive your inheritance. The land is already yours. You got to step up and go get it. You know, as they go through this thing, and when they're going through, you know, Rahab's over there. She's made the deal with the guys. And so now when they're going to actually execute the mission, they're going to remember her because she's going to put a scarlet thread out of the window. And that's where she lives. Make sure we save her and all the rubble. And they do. But on the way to this, they do something that's kind of almost preposterous. Like, you're on the way to battle. Like, I remember when I used to go to battle when I was like a kid, and I was going to fight somebody, and I was just like wild, rebellious person. And somebody offensive, I got to go fight them and take my little team, and we're going to fight. I know it's hard to imagine. Now I'm sweet little Lily that loves Jesus, you know. But the thing is, I can fight the devil. Don't let these nails fool you. I can do it. And so can you, but we go to fight. It's like, we don't hesitate when we fight. We go to fight and we run to it. And we play our heavy metal music along the way, right? I don't know, I'm probably dating myself. It's a little glimpse. But what they do is so intentional. They get these boulders, these rocks, and they put them on there, the heavy, and they put them on these guys, and they take them to the place where the priest had stood with the Ark of the Covenant, because when they stood there in the water parted and they came through again, they set up these stones, boulders, they call them memorial stones. So I think this is in chapter 3, Joshua. And there's 12 of them, one for each tribe. There's a lot of history in this. And the idea for us today is, can you set up a memorial for something that God has done in your life? Because when you look at a memorial, like all around my house, I have stuff like this. My family knows some, they don't know some. There's little stones, there's little rocks with words written on them. All over the place. I know your mom left a legacy of Rosie's rocks. We have it too. In our house, there's grace. On my husband's sink, there's a rock, desire. In my kitchen, it says live. Stop falling through. All these things have meaning to me. They're memorials of where I met God, and he met me, and he showed me. And I was strong and courageous, and I made this step. I heard the word of the Lord, and I took the ground. And I put a memorial up, and it reminds me who I am. Every day, eye of the tiger kind of stuff. Do you have any memorial stones? And if you don't, go make some. Make them today. Make yourself some memorial stones to remind yourself what the Lord has done. This is about taking possession of what is yours. Three conversions. Be strong. Be courageous. The land is yours. Catch up to my notes. Hear the word of the Lord and receive help is the second part of that. You know, help can come to you by an unlikely source. Who would have thought that a prostitute was going to help the army of the Lord take the land? She did. So there's two parts in that. You know, you got to offer help when it's time. When God speaks to you to offer help and become part of something, do it. Speak what he speaks to you. Help who he tells you to help. Go where he tells you to go. Next, set your memorial stones as you're executing your plan. Now, after this, you got to move. It's a lot of planning, and some of us get stuck in planning and writing and making a plan and having a strategy, and then we never take a step to execute. Execution is the whole thing. Otherwise, it's just a thought. It's a dream in your mind. But when you step to execute something, it comes to pass. I remember when Christine was talking about leaving corporate America and venturing out to own her own business in real estate. She did it. If she only would have thought of it and never taken a step, it was a risk. This might be costly, but here's my offering. I'm going to do this afraid. I'm going to step out in courage. How do you use a business as this idea? What do you think funds the kingdom of God? How do you think we do anything here? It's off those who tithe in this very room and those who give. Thank you, by the way. Be strong, be courageous, hear the word of the Lord. Give and receive help. Set memorial stones. Move. Now, in this particular scenario, you know, we're sending worshipers. We're sending the Ark of the Covenant. The presence of God has to go before you. We've already said all of this since the beginning of the year, over and over again. Pursue God. Pursue him. Yeah, there's a time in each of your day when you have an inkling that draws you away toward him. And you make a decision every time he calls you, whether you're going to come or not. And I know that you know what I'm talking about because it happens to me too. Every day, multiple times a day, come. And if I don't come and pull myself aside, you know what happens? Man, I could get crabby. It could be things get harder. There could be the flesh. And then not every time, because I've done it so many times that I have a grace covering now. But if I follow him and I listen to him, I find out there's a safety net around my life that allows me to live and move and to be in God's presence and on mission for what God's called me to do. Do you follow me? Get what I'm saying? So you start with your worship, just like they did, and then you got to march. You got to move toward the calling, toward what God has put in your heart, keeping your priorities in order, setting those memorial stones so you can remember who you are. And then you start to execute it. In this particular story, you know, there's giants in the land. We've been talking about that too. You know, we talked about last week when God wanted David to become a king, he gave him a giant to take down. God wanted Esther to become the queen and he gave her a crisis, remember? God wants Joseph to govern a land, he puts him in prison. It's God logic. It's not your logic. Your job is to go ahead and follow the word of the Lord and be obedient. You start to execute, and in this case, it's through worship. Worship opens your mind. It opens your clarity. It helps you see and perceive because you just made declarations that, God, you're worthy of everything I go through. Everything I see, you're worthy. I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. I belong to you, right? So you worship the Lord, and you're moving at the same time toward what he's called you to do. If you're afraid, that's okay. Fear, being afraid isn't a sin, but disobedience is. So doing it afraid could be one of the takeaways today that we definitely hold on to. So as you're walking and you're marching and you're worshiping and you've dedicated yourself to the Lord and all those walls start to come down, walls, it's a great metaphor, but how many have ever had the Lord remove a wall that was between you and him or that was in your way? Because I certainly have many walls, some big, some small, some I couldn't identify, but he's the one who brings down all the rubble and says, now go rebuild it. You know, whenever that earthquake happens and the walls came tumbling down and the armies marching around and around Jericho, can you picture in your mind what's there? It's rubble. If you've ever seen an earthquake, it's rubble. And now we have to go clean up what God has given us. This is what we've been doing here for the last decade of our lives. Marching around, taking the land, possessing it, letting the Lord speak to us about what to do, cleaning up the rubble, stacking stone upon stone, trusting the Lord to bring the right people at the right time to do the right things, whatever he's called us to. And hasn't he done it and won't he do it? This is all about possessing the land, not just what God called me to, but what he called you to. There's so many books in there and podcasts and leadership things that are in you, ministries for deliverance. There's so many things, and they're right there. And God is tapping on your heart and your mind and your will. Will you come? Will you do it afraid? Can we make this into something incredible that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven? After you find the place of, you know, some significance of some semblance of what God's called you to do, whether it's business, whether it's ministry, whether it's missions, I don't know. He knows, and you know. And after you do that, it's important to keep your word along the way. I can't tell you how many things we've been through where there were promises made that were never kept. for things that we've done in ministry. We've moved our whole family all over to California, Colorado, Kansas City. And the men of God have to keep their word, and the women of God, keep your word to the people who helped you along the way. It's important. I believe God honors that. And if there's someone you can think of in your life, I don't know, who's the takeaway? My husband always asks me this, what's the takeaway on that? I don't know, but what I do know is God wants us to reach back and keep our word to the people that helped us along the way and to be faithful. Keep your word to those who have helped you. After they do all this work, after they take Jericho, after they're building, they have a moment where Joshua says, okay, everybody, we're going to have a new circumcision. Now, see how that feels icky right here in this room? Can you imagine if everything you just did and you have this incredible battle and this win and you're looking at this territory now that we've just gained across the Jordan, and Joshua says, I'm going to get out the knife and we're going to have a circumcision. Time to cut away more flesh. I have a couple of theories and a couple of thoughts on that. You know, if you start reading Paul, he's like, what is circumcision? Because everything is about your heart. It's all about cutting away flesh. That's the metaphor. Men and women. There's a crucifixion of the flesh that has to take place. Crucifixion. These words are word pictures. Crucifixion of the flesh. Crucifixion of the squatters trying to be attached to me. Do you know what a crucifixion is, guys? That's a nail piercing it, blood, both sides, can't move, both. You're crucified, murder it. It's the way to freedom, and it's the only way to freedom. And there's a God who didn't leave us orphans, but he encouraged us, enabled us, and empowered us to overcome sin, to be leaders, to take down strongholds in cities, and to pursue the mission of God.
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about the Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org or joining us for worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.